That's in the Bible? This morning's reading actually does make a good reggae song, a good pop song that may or may not have been released in 1978, also in 1970 by a reggae group. By the rivers of Babylon, where we went down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. For the wicked carry us away, captivity required of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Remember that song? It sold over 4 million copies over the years. And, well, it's catchy. But the song, well, it expresses pain and sorrow. It also, well, it changes. It expresses pain and sorrow at the beginning. And then the part that is not in the song, but it's in the psalm, isn't, you know, it's not quoted there. The sentence at the end of this morning's reading are, well, they're awful. Starting in verses 7. Remember the day that they did that to us. Oh, it's going to be so good, and happy will be the day when we get them back. And that last verse about the little ones, it's evil, awful. I know I can't understand the pain that the writer of this psalm felt. Obviously, I can't understand why you would write something like that. I can't understand the anguish of people who endured atrocities committed against them by anyone. I especially can't understand the desire to kill the children of the enemies who have treated your people and your children like animals, raping and murdering them. This is what the people who sang this psalm, the writer of this psalm, that's what they endured. I've never experienced the kind of rage that comes with seeing your children savagely murdered and abused. So it's hard for me to be completely accurate in how I feel about this psalm, because I don't get the emotions that they're feeling. I can see how a person or a people would feel that payback was the only thing that would give them satisfaction. I can see how a person or a people, a group of people, would want revenge after they'd been treated so savagely. I can see how people today want revenge against those who have murdered innocents. I think of a 6-year-old boy who was killed this week. I think of a father who was killed this week. I still just can't understand ever wanting to take little ones and dash them against a rock. I wish that that verse wasn't here. I wish that all, you know, from 7, 8, and 9 wasn't here, but it's there. We read it today. It's present in our holy scriptures. Some people are more understanding with the entirety of this psalm. They say it gives permission for people to be honest with God, say anything to God. One of my friends looked at it and said, why would we be surprised that we see these emotions in the psalm? We see these emotions all the time from across the planet. We see people's desire for revenge. We see people speaking out in horrible ways. She said that it almost gives her a little bit of relief that those same emotions are felt by the writers in the Bible. She said, it gives her relief in a horrifying way. Horrifying way. I agree that we can say anything to God. I know that. We can chew out God. We can yell and scream at God, call God awful names, vent. In our venting, we let go of some of the anger and pain. And in our crying, we begin what usually is a slow process of healing. And even in our completely inappropriate words, God understands and God listens always. God isn't sitting there like the cosmic sheriff waiting for humanity to mess up so God can respond with lightning bolts or something like that. God is not causing people to shoot each other. God is not causing people to let power go to their heads. God didn't cause a police officer to shoot someone in Charlotte because Charlotte passed an anti-LGBT discrimination ordinance. God's not doing that kind of stuff. We're doing that kind of stuff. God's not responding with lightning bolts when we don't do it right. But Psalm 137 isn't the only place in the Bible where horrible words exist. In Isaiah 13, it's the wrath of God against the evil that get this. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. That's in our Holy Scriptures too. I don't think that's the way things are supposed to happen or that God desires that. In Psalm 137, maybe it's easy to explain away. It's the emotions of the writer, and it's not a guarantee or a promise of what God's going to do or what God should do. But Isaiah, it's this book of prophecy. But boy, it sure is expressing rage and then putting it on God, and I don't think you can do that. Because remember, God isn't the cosmic sheriff waiting for humanity to mess up so that God can respond with lightning bolts or something like that. Harsh, awful words have been used to describe what God is like, and God is not like that. That's Isaiah. And remember, Psalm isn't a promise. It isn't a view of exactly what God is like. It's powerful, it's raw, it's emotional. Psalm 137 is the emotion of someone writing out of pain and anger. And it doesn't call on God to pay back or kill children. You could read it and think that that's what it's doing, but it has the voice of the writer saying that happiness will come to the ones who get revenge. It says that happiness will come to those who slaughter the children of their enemies. Whew. Yeah, we can say anything to God. But, you know, it's not okay to seek revenge against our enemies. It doesn't work. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't fix anything. It's not okay to call for the slaughter of innocent children because payback is dangerous. It doesn't really pay back anything. It doesn't square things. All that happens is you do a bad thing to someone because they did a bad thing to you, and then they get you back, and then they get you back, and then they get you back. It just makes things worse. Wishing harm on our enemies and our adversaries comes out of a desire to pay them back for what they've done. It doesn't work. Revenge does no good for anyone ever. Ever. But we can't forget that these horrible words are in our Bible. These words are in our sacred book. God breathed For some in the faith community, literal words of God that were dictated and then written down. For others, the words of humans inspired by God. For others, the words of human who tried to seek God's ways. And for others, just words. But this is our sacred book. And remember, we can't judge the whole of our sacred book by the presence of anger, by the presence of offensive verses or unacceptable texts. We can't judge any religion that way. Incidentally, these verses, they're really in our Bible. Those emotions are really there. Some of the things that you see in email forwards that this is written in the Quran isn't written in the Quran. Somebody made it up to make Islam look bad. You can't judge any religion by the presence of offensive verses or unacceptable texts in their holy scriptures. So let's just call Psalm 137 what it is. It's horrible. It's offensive. It's unacceptable. It's evil. And it's in our sacred text. It's okay to acknowledge that the pain expressed there comes from deep within a heart that has been through devastation, through brutal treatment at the hands of someone else. As the body of Christ, as the church, we can seek to be agents of healing instead of division. So when we hear others cry out, we don't respond by angrily going up and punching someone or calling for revenge. We can hope that others will hear our pain and will be agents of healing instead of division when we cry out. Psalm 137 and so many other psalms remind us that in our anger, in our pain, in our sorrow, we can cry out. We can sing reggae songs. We can sing blues. And our crying out can begin the slow process of healing. It can be healing in our communities. It can be healing in our lives. It can be healing across faith groups. It can be healing just across humanity. On this World Communion Sunday, we acknowledge our religion is not perfect. We acknowledge that our sacred texts have awful things in them. And we acknowledge that we have pain. We acknowledge that there is pain across the board, across the human experience. We acknowledge that we can be in this together. We all can begin to live with and heal from devastation. We can remember the place of pain and grieving. Amen.